Our scripture reading this morning will be from Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 24. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is my fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you.
If you're looking at your bulletins and kind of shaking your head and scratching your head a little bit, that's okay. I changed the scripture reading this morning. They're flip-flopped. Debbie didn't do that. It's my fault. She got it right at the time that I gave it to her. I like movies, and I've told you that before, and I've shared movies with you. Now, the bad thing is, and I want to make this clear, sometimes I'll tell you something about a movie or I'll use a movie as an illustration, and some of you may look at me and say, he watched that movie? No, I probably didn't. This is one of those examples that I'm going to use this morning of a movie that I liked the premise and I thought it was interesting and I started watching it. I didn't get all the way through the movie, so I'm not going to tell you all about the movie. It's a movie called The Bucket List. And I thought the premise was kind of catchy and interesting, and I made it through a few minutes of it before I said, oh, I'm not having that in my house, and turned it off. The bucket list, the idea was a list of things that you want to do before you die. And the premise of the movie was these two guys in the hospital, both of them terminally ill, both of them no hope, they're going to die, it's just a question of when. And apparently they talked each other into saying, well, what is it you've always wanted to do that you've been scared to do? You're going to die soon anyway, why don't we just go do it? So they jumped out of airplanes and they did all kinds of crazy things. They called it the bucket list. I thought that was kind of cool. That's a neat premise. It's an interesting idea. Do you have a bucket list? I mean, you may not call it that, but now you got a name for it, a bucket list. Go to Alaska. Want to jump out of an airplane with a parachute, I hope. Maybe you want to go scuba diving. Maybe you want to learn to fly. Ride a motorcycle trip across America. I've always thought it would be kind of cool to drive up into Canada on the East Coast and take that Trans-Canadian Railway all the way across Canada and then come back. Now they tell me the Trans-Canadian Railway doesn't run anymore, so I guess that one's off my bucket list. What's on your bucket list? Don't tell me. Just think about it for a minute. And then I want to challenge you with this question. Do you have a spiritual bucket list? Is there something spiritual that you want to accomplish, that you would like to accomplish, that you'd like to get done before God calls you home? I suggest you should have. Paul had one. Look at our verse scripture this morning, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But I live on in the flesh. This will mean fruit from my labor. Verse 23, I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh, which is more needful for you. Paul had a bucket list. He knew he wanted to go home. More than anything else, Paul wanted to go to heaven. We should be the same way. More than anything else on the face of the earth, you should be wanting to go to heaven. That's the part where you can say amen. That's what we need to be focused on. That's what our goal needs to be. That's what our desire needs to be, is to be in heaven. Because brothers and sisters, you're going to die. You're not going to live forever on this earth. The time is going to come that you're going to die. And at that point, the number one goal in your entire existence should be, where are you going to spend eternity? And yet with that being the goal, what are you going to do here on this earth? At least three times in history that I can recall or that I've read about, one of them occurred during my lifetime. somebody got up either on a stump years past or on the radio, and then later it happened once on television that I remember, where some preacher stood up and told everybody, the world is going to end on this date. God is coming back. Jesus is coming on this date. So prepare for it. And he got all of his followers to send all their money and sell all of their goods. And they all gathered. At one point, they gathered on a mountaintop. And they sat there on top of the hill waiting for Jesus to come. Well, guess what? He didn't come. Jesus says, even he doesn't know when the time is. Even the angels don't know when the time is that he's coming back. Only God the Father knows that. So, by the way, as an aside here, there are a lot of cheats and scams out there. I got a call this week from somebody who said, a really good friend of mine has told me that he's got this grant that he figured out how we can get from the government. And it's a grant that you don't have to repay, and it's for home improvements and things. And all you have to do is send them $500 and they will send you $50,000 grant. Yeah. I said, no, don't do that. Scam, scam. It just screams scam. Well, brothers and sisters, if somebody says to you, we're in end times, this is happening, and the Jesus is coming back real soon, the word that should be coming through your head is scam. What is it they want from me? Because Jesus says the angels don't know. And anybody purports to know is a scam. Sooner or later, they're going to want something from you. But having said all of that, that the idea of a Christian, the goal of a Christian, the desire of a Christian should be to go to heaven. With that, why are we here on this earth? Because God gave us a job. Because God gave us things to do, to accomplish. What is on your list of things that you need to accomplish, your spiritual bucket list, before you die? And make no mistake, we are required to do something. We have to. Matthew chapter 25. Jesus tells us this illustration, this parable, beginning in verse 14. The kingdom of heaven, that's his kingdom, the church, heaven, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Well, you know the story. You know what happened. He went on his journey, he came back, and he required an accounting. He called each of those servants in. And he said, what did you do with your talents? Well, one says, I doubled them. And he says to them, well done. I will make you a ruler. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And he called the second one in. He said, what did you do? He said, look, I doubled what you gave me. You didn't give me a whole lot, but I doubled it. And he said the same thing to him. And look what the third one came in. And he said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you've not sown, gathering where you've not scattered seed. And I was afraid. Went and hid your talent in the ground, and look, there is what is yours. And look at verse 26. His Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have at least received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. You see, we have a responsibility. I think one of the keys of that verse, of that whole parable, one of the major points in that parable, looking in verse 15, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Each of us has a talent. Nowhere are we told we're all supposed to do the same things. I can't find anywhere that says every one of us needs to be able to stand up and preach in public. I've got a friend who would is one of the most wonderful, most outgoing, most personable, most effective personal workers I've ever seen. Knocks on doors, has an incredible teaching rate, has an ability to get people to talk to him and sit down and study the Bible with him, and he's very effective. If I made him stand up here today, he'd pass out on the floor. I'm not exaggerating, he'd pass out cold. Not his talent. I can knock doors, but I don't have the effective rate he does. Not my talent, or at least I'm not as good as his. To each according to his ability. We each have different talents. All of us have different talents and different abilities, and none of them is more important than any other. Not a single one is more important than any other. I had a conversation with a lady in the bank up in Kentucky some years ago. Ongoing conversation, long-going relationship with her. She attended a denomination there in town, and I was trying hard to get a chance to get and talk with her. I studied with her several times. We never did make connections, but Lord willing, I planted some seeds. But at one point, she said to me, "I'm really upset about my church. I am really upset." She says, "Our pastor left." I said, "Well, let's talk about whether it's a pastor or a preacher, but we'll let that go for now." She says, "Yes, he's gone, and I'm just really upset, and I may have to find a different place to go to church." And I said, "Well, wait a minute, time out. Why do you go to church? If you're going to church because of the preacher, you're going to church for the wrong reason. I'm thankful that every single person is in this room this morning worshiping God. I thank God for that. I thank God for you. But brothers and sisters, hear me carefully. If you're here because Leon Brown is the preacher at Foothills, you're here for the wrong reason. If you're here because Dennis is one of the elders here, you're here for the wrong reason. If you're here because your girlfriend says this is where you need to go to church, you're here for the wrong reason. We need to be here to worship God. That's what our talents are. Each one of us has different talents, and no one person's talent is more important than the other. My talent as a preacher, I think I have some talents as a preacher, is not any more important than the person who gets up and unlocks this door to let people in here. Every single talent is just as important. Ladies have been baking bread for the visitors and handing it out. Well, a lady who bakes the bread, I shouldn't say that because maybe some of you guys are baking bread too, I don't know. The person who bakes the bread is no more or less important than the person who puts it in the paper bag and then the person who hands it out. The person who sweeps the floor is no more or less important in the kingdom of God than the person who stands up here and talks or who leads us in the communion service. We each have different talents. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul teaches us that. Chapter 12, beginning in verse 12, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many." And he goes on to give the illustration of the foot. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, well, first of all, it's not true, and secondly, it's just not factual. It takes the whole body. It takes all of us. It takes every single one of us using every single talent that we have to be able to do God's will. I don't know what your talent is. Teach a neighbor? Invite someone to come to church? I told you a while back, I think that someone came into the office and said, "I hate to just dump this stuff on you." And I said, no, you don't understand. When you bring a problem in to me, you're giving me an opportunity to help a problem, to help a brother, to help a sister. And that's a blessing to me. So go ahead and bless me. Well, I'm going to give you an opportunity for a blessing today. We have a family in our midst, a couple in our midst. They're living in a camper. That's their choice. It's not that they're downtrodden or mistreated or anything, but they're in a camper in this cold weather, and they're having a hard time right now. They can't find a space heater to buy. There's not any on the shelves. They're almost out of propane. The propane service places are saying, no, we'll get to you when we can. We've got a family that needs, and I think we found a propane tank for them, but they need a couple little space heaters. Here's a chance for talents to be used, brothers and sisters. They would be upset if they told me, if they knew I was doing this, because they try to be private people and they try to be self-sufficient because they're Americans. But you know what? I'm a Christian first and an American second. You can say amen again. I'm a Christian first and I'm American second, and we need to use whatever little talents we have. Maybe your talent is, I got a space heater in the closet. It's dusty. I haven't used it in years, but I've got one that I'm not using. That's a talent. That's an ability. Is it big? I don't care. It's a talent. It's something that God gave you to be able to help out. Can you encourage someone? Can you pick up the phone this afternoon, look around and see who's not here, and pick up the phone and say, it's cold outside, I'm just checking to see if you're okay. That's a talent. That's a skill. That's an ability, a blessing that God gave you, and you need to be using it. We need to put things like that on our bucket list. Be friendly to people. Because it can have a huge impact on those around you. I lived through going to a congregation, and I think I've shared this with at least some of you, but I keep sharing. I tell these same stories over and over. There's an old story about a preacher who said that he was going to keep preaching the same sermon until the congregation got it. So when you hear the illustration over again, it's okay. Repetition is a good thing. Any teacher will tell you that. We went to a congregation where this little clique talked to this group, and these people talked to these people, and this family talked to this family, and they were all just kind of quiet, and it was kind of low key. They weren't bad people. They were good people. They're good Christian people trying hard to be good people. Little bitty girl says, you know what? We're new here. I don't know what talents I've got, but I can be friendly. So the next Sunday morning, she walked up to the oldest lady in the congregation, stuck out her hand and said, hi, my name is, what's your name? And spent 5 minutes talking to that little old lady. Probably first time in 20 years anybody other than her family had ever talked to her. She finished talking to her and she walked over to somebody else and said, hi, what's your name? Where do you live? And started asking them questions. 3 weeks. 3 weeks you wouldn't have known that congregation. People were gathered outside talking. Looked like our college kids here after services. One little bitty girl had a talent. Chose to use it. Are you using your talent? I don't know what your talent is. I don't know what it is. You do. Are you using it? And if not, why not? You see, James chapter 4, verse 17. I want you to turn there with me. Some of you just follow along. Some of you get on in your phones, and that's good. But turn to James chapter 4. If you're not an underliner, I encourage you to underline this verse. And if you are, be sure you underline it. James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Do you know that was in there? You know what James is telling you? He's saying if you know that you're supposed to do something good, if you know that there's a need that you're not fulfilling, if you know there's something you could be doing that you're not doing, if you know there's something that needs to be done and you're not doing, you're sinning. If you got a talent and you're not using it, you're sinning. Not me. James said it, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Oh, I would be glad to do something, but I don't know where it fits in the program. I've looked, and I can't find a program in the New Testament. I can't find the concept of we have to have a supervisor or a leader or a program or an organizational structure. And I'm not putting those things down. They're great. They're wonderful. They encourage people. There are ways to get people involved, and they make people really focus. And I think programs are wonderful. But that's not how we get things done in the New Testament. We get things done because somebody says, I have a talent and I see a need and I'm going to step up and do it. See, it doesn't really matter who's in charge. I need to do something. And if I do something and I step on somebody's feet, they'll come to me and talk to me as Christians and say, hey, did you know I was already doing something like, really? Well, let's do it together. Let's double our efforts. Cool. And that's how programs get started. We need to use our talents and not wait for somebody to say, would you do this? You see, it needs to be done. Get up and do it. It won't happen by accident, this using our talents. We have to plan for it. And see, that's where I come back around to that concept of a bucket list. One of the things on my bucket list years ago here on earth was I wanted to go to Alaska. I loved going to Alaska. I was intrigued by Alaska. It's a huge state. It just intrigues me. We went there in the late spring, early summer. I told Brenda I'd like to go back in the fall and the winter sometime. She says, that's another proof you're crazy. Probably. Cool trip. I loved it. I did all kinds of things. We saw huge mountains. We saw moose. We saw everything. Mountain goats. Eagles. Excuse me. It was an incredible trip. One of the really weird little things I loved was sitting on the picnic table outside the camper, reading my book at 11:45 at night. Long days. Excuse me. But you know what? That trip never would have happened had we not spent almost 2 years beforehand planning it. Oh, it's on my bucket list. But I had to sit down and we had to budget for it. We had to figure out a plan. What are we going to do when in order to make that happen? We had to plan it, we had to think about it, we had to pray about it, we had to work at it. Had we just looked around and said, well, June 17th of next year, we're going to Alaska. Okay, what's for dinner? We never got there. We had to work at it. It was on my bucket list, but to achieve it, we had to work at it. We had to plan it. We had to think about it. We need to do something about it. One of those other movie references. I'm a big James Garner fan. I loved his movie, Support Your Local Sheriff. That is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. And if you've seen the movie, you know through the whole thing, there's this theme running, this recurrent thing that I'm on my way to Australia. I'm going to Australia. I'm not going to be here very long because I'm going to Australia. And he'd tell them what they had in Australia and what Australia was like. He'd studied about it. He'd read about it. He'd talked to people from there. He had all this thing. Hey, I'm going to Australia. At the very end of the movie, as they're doing the summation and the cap, the wrap up, the guy who's doing it standing on the back of the train says, well, now here's what happened to all these characters. And he says, you know, he never did get to Australia. Never did. Why not? Because he didn't not just dream of it, he didn't plan it, and he didn't work at it. Do you have a bucket list? The first step is to have one. The second is to work toward it. And more importantly, do you have a spiritual bucket list? Do you have things in your life that you need to accomplish for the Lord before He calls you home? You should have. Because if you don't have that list and you're not working towards that list, then you'll never accomplish it. You'll never get there. We need to be able, like the parable said, there's going to come a time when Jesus is going to have us standing in front of Him and He's going to say, "What have you done with the talent I gave you? Did you use it? Did you invest it? Did you bring forth fruit with it? Or did you bury it in the ground and hold it tight?" And I hope and pray that you'll be able to look Jesus square in the eye, and that I'll be able to look Jesus square in the eye and say, "Lord, I worked on my bucket list. Those talents you gave me, I really did. I didn't do great, maybe. I didn't do as well as I wanted to. I didn't accomplish and get the goals that I wanted to, but Jesus, I worked at it, and I did my very best. I put what I could into it. I really, really worked at my bucket list to do the job that you gave me to do here on this earth." Paul said to Timothy, "I'm already being poured out like a drink offering," in 2 Timothy 4:6. "Time of my departure is at hand." And then he went on to be able to say what he's going to be able to say to the Lord when he stands before that bar. He said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness." Are you going to be able to say that when you're standing before the Lord? When He says to you, "What have you done with the talents that I gave you?" Are you going to be able to say, "I fought the good fight? I raced a good race? I identified items and things on my bucket list, my spiritual bucket list, that I need to accomplish for the Lord before I die. And I worked at them, Lord. I not only identified them and figured out what my talents were and what I needed to be doing, but I worked towards them and tried to accomplish them and put my efforts into them." Do you have a spiritual bucket list? If not, why not? If you have one, and are you working towards it? If not, why not? We're going to stand in a minute and sing a song. And that's the song. It's a traditional time. It's done. We do it every time we get together to offer the Lord's invitation, to say this is an opportunity to encourage you to respond to the invitation of the Lord. What is the invitation of the Lord? Here it is in a nutshell. Obey me. Submit yourself to me. Follow the plan of salvation. It's right here. I'll add you to the church. If you haven't done that, He's going to offer you the opportunity right here, right now, today. If you have done it, but your talent's kind of sitting over in a corner getting dusty because you haven't made a spiritual bucket list, because you haven't planned towards your goals, your spiritual goals, because maybe you got a list but you haven't worked at it, this is an opportunity to change that too. To change your direction, to change your life, and get to work with your talents for the Lord. Little talents, big talents, doesn't matter. Are you working for the Lord towards your spiritual bucket list? Whatever your need is, I beg you to respond to the Lord today before it's everlastingly too late. Well, let's sing that song.